Good morning.
Good morning.
Have the registration that's been passed out yet? If not, would somebody please pass out the registration booklets and mark in it that you're attending the second service this morning. I'd like to welcome you to Jenkins. Over on the left side here, do we have any visitors today? What about in the middle? Hey, good name. What about the right side? Glad to have you this morning. The announcements this morning are in your bulletin. If you feel like there's one to announce, Deborah, would you like to make an announcement? prayer or praise request.
I understand that Nancy's doing well.
Nancy's doing great. And we appreciate everybody's prayers and cards and flowers and calls, phone calls, and everything. But she's really doing great. We came, surgery was Thursday afternoon. We came on Friday morning.
Has to do business occasionally. And this is one of those Sundays that we have business to do. The congregation meets for a limited number of things. One of them, and the main one, is to elect elders. December of each year, we nominate and elect elders, and today is the day for the nominations. We will have the election next Sunday, and let us pray. Lord God, we believe that the church is your body in the world. You have called us to be a service to you. You have called on us to appoint leaders of a particular congregation. And we pray for your leadership, Lord, as we go through that process today and next Sunday. In Christ's name, amen. Teresa, will you read the nominees from the session? You left that about three times. You'll be able to encourage. there were no other nominees at the 8 o'clock service. And so next Sunday, it will basically be going through the motions of having the election. But we also have next Sunday a meeting of the corporation, Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church Incorporated. A number of years ago, we incorporated on legal advice, and so we are required to have a congregational meeting and a meeting of that corporation or corporation meeting once a year. And so, Pete, I believe you're president. We forget, but we will find out before next week, and we will have the meeting of the corporation next week also. And if you have any business to bring before the corporation, please do so next Sunday morning at the 10:15 open service at the 10:15. We'll have that corporation meeting after the election, which, as we say, with no other nominees, we will just affirm these that have been elected. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
we know that Jesus' coming was to bring joy, joy to the entire world. But Lord, we recognize that so many are not living in joy today. Lord, your church has been called to help spread the joy of Jesus. And we pray as we come together today that we could experience joy in this hour. And that, Lord, that we could bring glory to you as we show our joy at knowing you. And Lord, that you would prepare us to go into our communities, our workplaces, our classrooms, and share the joy of knowing you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to be our Savior, to relieve us of the penalty that we deserve for our sin. And we just thank you, Lord, that we could come and just share together and rejoice in our salvation in the presence of Jesus in our life. So, Lord, lead us through every aspect of this hour. And, Lord, we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What do we believe about Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit? Let's put it in words through the Apostles' Creed, followed by the Gloria.
I believe in God, our Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
I will see.
time, all the children come forward, please. And the children do stay in the sanctuary today.
Good morning. Christmas is coming. And you know what? This is a special time of year because we get to do the Advent wreath, and that's one of my favorite things that we do every year. Christmas is coming, and we need to remember what Christmas is all about. And the Advent wreath is one of the ways that helps us really focus. That's right. That is exactly what it's all about. You see the round shape of the wreath? Well, that represents God's never-ending love. Just like a circle is never-ending, well, God's love for us is never-ending. And so that's why we have it in the shape of a circle. You see the greenery around the wreath? Well, that represents everlasting life. The everlasting life that you and I have because we are followers of our Lord and Savior. And the candles, we're going to talk about each one of those candles each week. So I won't tell you all about that. You probably already know, but we'll keep that as a surprise, okay? But I want you all to remember, as we do this each week and as we approach Christmas, it is exactly what you said. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus' birth, all about the fact that the Lord gave us such a wonderful, wonderful, indescribable gift. There's no way we can ever, ever describe it great enough. Because it's the best thing that's ever happened to us. And having said that, we have that hope in our heart, and that's what the first candle is going to represent, the hope of our Savior. Because we know there's lots of work still to be done, and we don't know, do we? We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but we know He is, don't we? We know Jesus is coming back for us, but we also know that there are a lot of people in this world that have no idea what that wonderful gift of Christmas is all about. And it's our job to get out there and spread that hope that no matter how bad things get, no matter how worried you are about anything, as long as you have the Savior and you carry Him here in your heart and you know that He's coming back for you, He's coming back for His followers, then we're okay. And that's the hope we carry into each and every day. And we'll go ahead and light that candle. Yay! Good. That one will do. Yes, we will. And I'll tell you all about that one. The first one's the purple window.
Thank you.
for a sentence this morning. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Would our ushers come forward, please? Thank you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. No one knows about that day or an hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at the time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house to be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Are you ready for Jesus to return? To come to earth in victory, to claim those who are His, those who have put their faith and trust in Him. This congregation, part of us at least, we are very much aware that Jesus has promised to come again. Children's message. Andrea started teaching the children very young. But that's probably, I don't believe it's the first time that we've talked about Jesus coming again. And the offertory prayer that Gary prayed mentioned the coming of Jesus a second time to claim His own. When will it happen? We don't need to talk too much about when it'll happen, but we do need to think about and prepare for when it happens. And I hope that this message will be meaningful to someone in their preparation. If you're not prepared, I hope it'll be a time that will speak to you and you will become prepared, or become ready. You'll start making ready, or you will make ready for Jesus to come. If you've already heard the story, you already know it almost by heart, well, just pray, in case there's someone here who is not aware of Jesus' coming, and pray for that person, whoever that person might be. And we don't even need to know, but God knows, and they know. So use this as a prayer time if you're already well prepared for Jesus' coming. There's much speculation, always has been much speculation, except or at least since the time of Jesus. There's much speculation about His first coming. People like to speculate. They like to wonder, try to figure things out, figure riddles out. Riddles are a big thing in many people's lives. So there's been speculation on top of speculation about when Jesus will return to earth. It's referred to as the second advent. Advent being another word for coming. As we again begin the Advent season, and that's where we are today. We're the first Sunday in Advent. I guess the first day of Advent. Sunday nearest November the 30th. And that's today. And we start with the Christian year, as we call it, and go until 52 weeks, till we start over again. So as we're coming to think about Jesus' first coming, celebrate Christmas, it's also a good time to think about Him fulfilling that promise to come again. Matthew 24, and actually 36 through 44. These verses give us a mere glimpse of the second coming of Jesus, or what we can know about it. Now, we did deal with this, actually, a terrible day of the Lord more a couple of weeks ago. And there may be some similarities in that sermon and in this sermon, but that's all right. I know we listen to the same songs over and over, right? So sometimes we read the same books over and over. Sometimes we watch the same television programs over and over. How many times have you seen MASH? And certain segments, at least. So I come thinking it important that we talk about the second advent again. Jesus told us in John 14, told the disciples, they recorded it, John recorded it, passed it on to us, that He was going to go and prepare a place for us, and that He had come back and receive us into that place that He had prepared. And Jesus was being lifted up to heaven. And the disciples were there looking up. And they were staring in the clouds. And two people appeared, two men, and remnant, glowing remnant, and they told them that Jesus would come back just like He was leaving. So when you hear people speculate about Jesus being born in the Far East as a baby, coming back as a baby, that's not scriptural. Read Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And you can find out it is not. And as you find somebody telling you, well, I believe this person over here is Jesus, if He didn't come on a cloud where all could see Him, forget about it. Look elsewhere. What can we learn from Matthew 24, 36 through 44 about Jesus returning to earth? First thing, and number one on the list on the screen, is the exact time of this second advent is known only to God. I've read a lot of William Barclay, Daily Bible Study series. Many, many preachers have read that, probably more than any other commentary, or maybe I have. And he points out that this passage, and he don't have to point it out, you can see it. This passage makes it very clear that us speculating, or anybody speculating, about when Jesus will come again, is, he says, it's blasphemy. Very close to blasphemy. And he goes on to say that he who speculates is seeking to take away from God secrets that belong to God and God alone. There are certain things that we don't need to know. And God thought that this was one that we didn't and don't need to know. And I could illustrate from my own life. We got out of school, got home from school each day, my sister and I, about 3:45. Thank you. Class was out at 3:15, so it was about 30 minutes to get home. And my mother was a working mother, and she was due home about 4:30 every afternoon. And it was pretty close, not about, didn't vary very much. And it was our duty. We had left after she left, and we were left with the duty when we got home to get the house back in order, fix the things that hadn't been fixed that morning, and usually nothing had been fixed that morning after we got up and did our thing. Well, we were home at 3:45, and we had 45 minutes, and we could get it all done. Get a fire built if it was wintertime, and get a fire built and get things in order. Well, we'd get the fire built, and we would turn on the TV. And we'd watch TV till about 25 minutes after 4. Sometimes they came a little bit early. Well, it wasn't easy on us. Mother would rant and rave at us, and we would show how busy we were getting things in order. Well, she knew that we had been placed. If Jesus told us exactly the time that he was going to come, we'd live like the devil till right before he got here, wouldn't we not? And then we'd try to hurry up and get everything in order. And it even happens not knowing when he's coming. It happens when people get close to death. I got a call last week, or week before last. So-and-so is sick. We're not sure that so-and-so has ever been baptized. Would you go and talk to them? Well, I really think that so-and-so is past even comprehending what we were talking about. But I did go. So when a person is going to meet their master, if it's through death or through the second coming, sometimes we get real excited because we don't want to go meet our master, our maker. We don't want to go meet God, go to the great judgment without being prepared. But that is just one good reason that God, I believe, that God chose to withhold from us the exact time that he was going to come back. And am I too far wrong in thinking that we would live as wild as we could and then clean everything up right before Jesus came to take us home, get everything in order? Though the Christian life and the way Jesus teaches us to live, it is so much better than hating our neighbor and cheating our neighbor, etc., 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 and cursing our neighbor and cursing God. Oh, Jesus teaches the best way anyway. But we wouldn't do it. We're prone the other way somehow, even not knowing the time. Even not knowing the time that Jesus is going to come. We are not called to figure out or to determine or to know when Jesus will come again. It's our duty, our responsibility, to prepare ourselves and prepare as many other people as we can for his coming. We have a story to tell to the nation. That followed communion because we had hopefully just had a spiritual experience where we remembered his sacrificial death to pay for our sin that would keep us, if we went out of this world with that sin, out of heaven. He paid for our sin on the cross, and we remembered that. And then the next song was planned to, and I always hope it does at least, to say, hey, we've got a story to go out and tell to those people out in the world that do not yet know Jesus and his forgiveness. So it's our job to prepare. It's our job to prepare ourselves and to watch. How do we prepare? If you're not prepared, just know that we prepare to meet Jesus at his second coming, trusting Him. Putting our faith in Him is one way it's been said. Putting our faith in Him as our Savior. Trusting Him to forgive our sinfulness that we inherited from Adam and Eve, and our sin that we have done ourselves. Trusting Jesus in His death on the cross as payment for our sin. That's how we prepare. Repenting of that sin. Don't just get cleaned up to go out and wallow in the mud hole again. Repenting of that sin and inviting Jesus to live in us. We don't just come to Jesus and get cleaned up and say, "Jesus, we'll see you the last day when you come back." We invite Him to live in us. And then we're prepared. These verses tell us that the time will come with suddenness. You know, I think it's in Luke that Jesus is talking about this, and He says there'll be times that people will use, and they'll look at the situation around the world and they'll say, "Well, Jesus is coming." And how many times have you heard that? How many times have I heard it? "I really believe that Jesus is going to come real soon." Now, I don't know what real soon is. That's our problem. We don't know what real soon is. First century Christians thought He was going to come in their lifetime, in the physical body, to take us home. When He didn't come, Peter said, "Hey, don't get concerned or worried that He's not going to keep His promise. He's just giving more people an opportunity to trust Him as their Savior, to get saved, get ready, to get prepared." And you could say that's giving us more opportunities to witness to somebody else and tell them, give them an opportunity at least. They may not believe, they may not trust, but give them an opportunity to trust Jesus as their Savior, to be forgiven, be ready for heaven, have their sins taken away. And suddenness. He uses Noah here. And He said people were eating and drinking. Well, we eat and drink every day, don't we? They were going about with daily activities. They were eating, they were drinking. And we see marriages. You open the paper today, I believe, and you'll find how many weddings there. They were married and they were being given in marriage. So, normal, everyday activity. Time we least expect. Bang. There He is. Do we like company to come? Do we like company to come when we're not ready for them? It's okay with some people. For some people, it just blows their back. Jesus says these will be normal times, and one day He's going to appear. One day He's going to appear. Barclay uses the word shattering suddenness. Especially on those who are immersed in material things. Then he uses Noah. Noah was prepared when the flood came. He didn't know exactly when the raindrops were going to come, but he got prepared. How long did he have to wait? We don't know. He was ready. But the rest of mankind was lost. Did Noah try to witness to them? Back in middle school, I guess, a preacher came to our school and talked about how Noah tried to get them to come into the fold, but they refused. The neighbors, the friends, talked about they laughing at him. I remember that pretty vividly. They were lost in their eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and where they were caught unaware. Read verse 38, if you will. They were caught unaware. For the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Verse 37 says, it will be like it was in Noah's day when Jesus comes. Normal activity to be involved in worldly matters, but not thinking about spiritual matters. We must never get so wrapped up in our worldly matters. We must never get so wrapped up in our retirement plan or our job or whatever it is, even our school. We must never get so wrapped up in this day that we forget about eternity. The world is going somewhere, like it or not. The world is going to an end. The Bible teaches that vividly. But there will be a day when time shall be no more. We must never let our concern with worldly affairs be so involved that we forget that there is a God, and that life and death are in His hands. Rather, we must ever be ready if Jesus comes. If He comes at morning, if He comes at midday, or if He comes at evening. How do we get ready? We trust Him as our Savior. He paid for our sins, and we give our sins to Him. The coming of Jesus will be a time of separation and judgment. And I call your attention to chapter 25 of Matthew. This is chapter 24, but turn to chapter 25. And a couple of Sundays ago, we mentioned the 10 virgins, and 5 were prepared for the coming of the bridegroom, and 5 were not prepared. And this was an illustration about Jesus' coming. And the 5 who were not prepared, the door was shut while they went to look for oil or get prepared. They didn't have any oil in their lamps. We need oil in our lamps when Jesus comes. And then He talks about separation in that chapter also. And this makes it so important that we tell the story of Jesus. We need, as we wait, to live in watchfulness. We need to live in watchfulness. And if we haven't done so, we need to make preparation. Lord God, Jesus came and died for us. And He promised to come back. And we know that. Lord, we trust Him. And we want others to trust Him. We pray that You will use us, Lord, that You will use us to be great witnesses. And You will so live in us that we will be prepared at any time for that great witness. Number 124.